Southern California Christian Students College Conference, November 18th through 20th, 2011, Big Bear, California. Conference title is The Word of the Cross. Message 4, Reconciliation, Peace Through the Cross. Scripture reading, Colossians 1:20-22, Ephesians 2:13-16, 4:3, and Colossians 3:15.
Hallelujah. Everybody drinking.
Amen.
I like that. Drinking.
Amen.
Let's all declare that.
Drinking.
Point to your neighbor. Drinking.
Drinking.
Yeah. I hope we all would be drinking this morning.
Amen.
Enjoying this wonderful Christ. Well, we come to the conclusion, the last meeting of this conference. And I hope you're not full to the brim. Lord, may we all be so empty this morning.
Amen.
Wide open to receive something fresh from you. Yeah. We come to this last message, and the message is called what? What's the name of it?
Reconciliation. Peace through the cross.
What is reconciliation? Reconciliation indicates that there's a problem. There's a problem that we have with God. Reconciliation means something needs to happen to solve this problem between us and God. We had a problem. We have a problem.
Right.
We are a problem. Gino, are you a problem? We're all a problem. We have the problem of sin. We have the problem of the flesh, the self, the world. We have so many problems. But what's indicated here, what you see in the Word, is that we were enemies of God. Now, you don't think you're an enemy, do you? Were you an enemy? According to the Word, you're an enemy to God. You wanted your own way. There's something rebellious that got put into our being. We're a problem to Him. But you know what? The Lord loves us. He wouldn't give up. He would do something to solve the problem.
Amen.
That was what? The cross.
Amen.
He would go to the cross.
Amen.
God would send His Son, and He would come in the Son to what? To reconcile us to Himself. To solve the problem. Bringing in what? Peace.
Peace.
And we want to look at some verses. I'll try to use some examples. We really want to see what this last big matter that happened at the cross. From what we've seen so far, what are the key words from all the messages that encapsulate what happened at the cross? What's number one?
Redemption.
Again, everyone.
Redemption.
Hallelujah for what?
Redemption.
Aren't you so glad He paid the price? It was the unique, supreme price He paid.
Amen.
The blood of Christ was shed for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He took our sins. He took us. He took us to the cross. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He accomplished redemption for us. He bought us for God. And now we belong to Him. Hallelujah for redemption.
Amen.
The blood was shed. The price has been paid. It should have been us. Come on, Jesus. Even He's got a good name, but listen, He still needs to go to the cross. You may be a good person, bad person, in-between person. We all need to go where? To the cross. Thank the Lord He took all of us, in all our sins, to the cross, and He crucified. He was crucified there. He shed His blood, accomplishing redemption. He met all the requirements of God. Isn't that awesome? This is just redemption. Then what else happened? What's the second big word?
Termination.
Hallelujah. Termination. This is involved in what I was just saying, but what got terminated at the cross?
Yes.
Yeah, point to your neighbor, you. And everything about you. Not only you, but Satan, the world. Anyway, hallelujah, ourself. Everything was terminated at the cross. That's worth a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So let's say hallelujah for redemption.
Hallelujah for redemption.
Hallelujah for termination.
Hallelujah for termination.
And what happened last night?
Germination.
Praise the Lord. Germination. Hallelujah. He was that seed. fell into the ground and died so that this life could be reproduced. And here he is. Look at the reproduction. Just look around. His life has been multiplied. You wouldn't have chosen one another. Here's Josh. Here's Edward. I don't know them, but you know what? I can tell they have the life of God. Amen. The Lord's life has gotten into them. Praise the Lord. He's been germinated in all of you. Amen. I can't help it. Tell your neighbor, you've been germinated with Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, now we come to reconciliation. And of course, the title indicates that reconciliation brings in peace through the cross. I just want to mention something that happened. If you look at John 20, and we'll be looking at a few verses, I just hope you would see, the Lord would open our eyes to see something of what happened on the cross. Something further. Are you through seeing things that happened at the cross?
No.
You want to see more?
Yes.
Listen, there is more.
Amen.
This is so rich. This is the aftermath of the Lord's death and resurrection. In John 20, you see a situation where the disciples were all gathered together. And they were there for fear of the Jews. They were in fear. They were trembling. They were scared. They were in this room. And the one that they had hoped to be the Messiah, the coming Christ, the King of Israel, he had died. It's been 3 days. And now they were like the laughing stock. What happened to your king? Here they are. They didn't know what was going to happen to them. They were just in fear. And it says, when therefore, this is 19, verse 19 of chapter 20. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, while the doors were shut, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst. The doors were shut, but what happened? He just came in the room. Hallelujah for the glorified, resurrected body of Christ. He had become the life-giving Spirit. He enters into the room. Did he open the door? Did he knock? He just came on in. And then they're really scared to death. But Jesus came, he stood in the midst, and he said to them, what did he say? Peace! I love it. You're going to hear it a lot today. Peace be to you!
Amen.
Oh, this is big. You don't realize how big this is. When he said that, peace be to you.
Wow.
And then he breathed into them and said, receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He had been resurrected. Now he just breathed himself, his life, into the disciples. But the first word to them was what?
Peace.
What was the first word?
Peace.
You like that word?
Yes.
We have a song. The world is longing, seeking for peace. Is that right? Is that how it goes? Wars and rumors. Never mind.
Before their time.
That must have been way before you. Peace be to you. And then you know what? He didn't just say it once. They rejoiced at seeing him, and he showed them what? His hands and his side. His hands and his side. And then what did he say? Again he said, peace be to you.
Amen.
Woo! Doesn't that sound sweet?
Amen.
Peace be to you. And you'll see, this is a big thing. This is wonderful. Peace. What is peace? How would you describe peace, Jimmy? That's the first time Jimmy's been speechless. Anyway, that's okay. Peace. You know, I grew up in the era of a peace movement. Yes. There's been many peace movements, but there was a peace movement in the 60s. And some of it was kind of part of the hippie movement and all that. And what was the sign at that time?
Yeah.
Peace, Brother Jordan. That's not the real peace. We were longing, looking for peace, mainly the peace from going to war in Vietnam. That was the big thing. And there was a big rebellion. You know, at that time, there's rebellion everywhere. I remember myself, I had the determination, I'm never going to get a job where I have to wear a tie. You know, those suits and all those people, you know, look at me, here I am. And actually, to tell you the truth, after I came into the church life, which many of you are enjoying these days, when I first came, even then I was there. I see one with the ties. I'm never going to do that. And here I am. You know. Anyway, the Lord, He's peace. He is peace. And listen, there's another account in Luke 24 of the same thing that happened. And in Luke 24, I just want to go over it real quick with you. And it says, this is in verse 36. And as they were speaking these things, He Himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace to you." Let's all say that.
Peace to you.
Amen. Again,
peace to you.
Isn't that sweet? You see this all through the New Testament. Grace and what? Peace to you. And then again, he said, "Touch me and see." Touch. And then He showed him His hands and His feet. Anyway, peace to you. So, I'd like to tell a little story. And I may have it out of sequence, but it's just, it gives a good impression. In John chapter 14, there's a verse. And the Word is so powerful. And this is a little story of my wife when she got saved. This is back in, long time ago. She was at LSU, and she was an unbeliever. She grew up in New Orleans. She grew up in a family that did not know the Lord and hardly knew anything about Jesus. And she had been trained to be successful in this and that, and She was at the LSU campus, and she had become president of the Women's Association. And that was a big thing back then. There was a women's movement going on at the same time as everything else. And she was the president. And it was a big group. And she thought that would give her peace. Felt like that would be the fulfillment of the longing within for peace. And she found that after all her seeking, and even winning this election, she was in her dorm room, and she was just empty. Still not at peace. Not satisfied. There was something missing still. And she was in her dorm room one night, and she was reading a book. And it was a book with all kinds of things about philosophers. All these great philosophers and all the things they had to say. And they included in that book one little tiny section, real short, on Jesus Christ, on this man Jesus. And they made a mistake. They quoted him. They quoted one verse. They had one verse in there that Jesus said, okay? And it was John 14:27. And in this verse, this is what the Lord said. And she read this, and it said this: "My peace I give to you, amen, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Whoa. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Whoa. My wife, she read the verse, and it infused her with faith. I don't know what happened, but all she did was she responded with something out of her mouth. She just opened her mouth and she said, "Jesus, if you're real, give me this peace."
Amen.
The Lord came into her.
Amen.
She knew immediately something happened to her. She didn't know what happened. She went and looked in the mirror. She knew something had happened. And then her friends came back to the dorm room and they saw her and they said, "Kathy Rockwood, what happened to you?"
Wow.
They saw something.
Wow.
And she said, I don't know, but I think I met Jesus. And they looked at her and they said,
Hallelujah.
Maybe you did. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
My peace I give to you.
Amen.
Not like the world gives.
Right.
Listen, the peace and all that, that's not the real peace. He gives the real peace. There's nothing like this peace. And we'll discover why. Let's go to the outline. Roman numeral 1, it says, through the blood of His cross, Christ has reconciled all things to God. I'd like for us to open our Bibles and look at a few verses. These verses will open up this whole portion. If we can look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And actually, we'll read 20, 21, and 22. Ready? Let's read it all together. And through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heavens. And you, the once alienated and enemies in your mind because of your evil works,
He now has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to set you holy and without blemish and without reproach before Him.
So there's so much in this, but I just want you to just look at the words. Through Him. Let's all say that.
Through Him.
To what? Reconcile. Reconcile. Through Him to reconcile. Only He could do this. Who could reconcile us to God? We're a mess. We're just a problem. But through Him, He reconciled, look at this, all things to Himself.
All things.
All things. And then what happened? Having made what? Let's all say it.
Peace.
Amen, brother. Peace. Amen. Having made peace through the blood of His cross.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Hallelujah for the blood of His cross.
Amen.
It brought in peace. Reconciliation has been accomplished. And then in verse 21, you see that we were what? We were alienated and what?
Enemies.
The Bible says, the Scripture says, we were what? Enemies. But, look in verse 22. Now, He's done what? He's reconciled us in the body of His flesh through death. There was something going on the cross, you guys. There was something wonderful going on in the body of His flesh. He was reconciling us. Praise the Lord. It was all happening in His body. And what was the scope of this reconciliation? What's the scope? If you look at these verses, it says what? All things. He was reconciling all things. You realize He was reconciling the whole creation? Your little doggy, your little kitty cat, the trees. You may not believe that, but listen, He was reconciling everything to Himself. Even the creation. Listen, the universe had been contaminated because of Satan. And man had been injected with Satan. Something evil got into man, and man collapsed. Therefore, the whole universe is full of vanity. There's just vanity. Even the trees have no reason for living. They just have no reason. They've lost their reason. Because the head of the human race, which is supposed to be head over everything, he collapsed. Now they have no leader. They have no reason to... They're just existing. And actually, according to... Romans 8, all creation is groaning. They're waiting for the revelation of the sons of God so that they can be brought into freedom. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Does that make sense? That's just blowing your mind. You don't understand it, do you? This is what the Word says. And actually in Hebrews 2:9, in 2:9 it says this, that He might taste death on behalf of what? It says everything.
Everything.
On behalf of everything. Point A, let me read this. Both the things in the heavens and the things on the earth needed to be reconciled to God because of Satan's rebellion and man's fall. Then point one, Satan with other angels rebelled against God and became God's enemy, thus polluting
the entire universe, and particularly contaminating the heavens. Then two, in man's fall, man rebelled against God, developed a problem with God, opposed God, and became God's enemy. And I'd like for us to read Romans 5:10 right now. All together, if you have that. Romans 5:10.
For if we, being enemies, were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more we will be saved in His life, having been reconciled.
This is another verse that confirms we were what? Enemies? And we have been reconciled to God. We have peace with God.
Amen.
Through what? What happened at the cross? He was reconciling us. He was taking care of this problem. We were enemies. And He came in at the cross to deal with this.
Amen.
To deal with everything negative. And He was reconciling us.
Amen.
Through the blood of His cross. Dealing with all the things. All of our rebellion. All of our opposition to God. Christ was there as the one who could bring in peace. And we'll see a little bit more in a minute to make this a little more clear. Okay, then let's go back to the outline. Point B. Since we have been reconciled to God, we have peace toward God.
Amen.
Do you have peace toward God?
Yes. Amen.
Let's all declare that. Peace
toward God.
Again.
Peace toward God.
Don't you like that?
Yes.
There's nothing worse than not having peace with God. That's a scary thing. To not have peace with God. We have peace toward God. Praise the Lord. And we enjoy peace, what? Together. Peace together with Him. I don't know if you realize this. This matter of reconciling everything, I almost need to have an illustration. Okay. We need a brother. Jordan, come up here. Well, my little brother. Hallelujah. This is you and me. This is man. And he was the head of the whole race. God made man in His image, and He said, let him have dominion over everything. Satan came to seduce man, right? Through Eve. And eventually, he took in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord told him, the day you do that, you'll surely die. So when they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he got injected. He got injected with something evil, and he said, you'll surely what? Die. Now that here you are, all the trees, all the universe, he's supposed to be over you. Now, it's all vanity now. But eventually, he didn't stay there. The Lord came, went to the cross, took care of death, right?
Amen.
He took death. He abolished death. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Eventually, He brought man through Christ. He brought man out of the collapse.
Amen.
Just a little bit. Now then, he needs to keep growing. He needs
Amen.
More life.
Amen.
More germination. That
Amen.
Life needs to grow in him.
Amen.
Up, up, up.
Amen.
Higher, brother.
Amen.
Life needs to bring us up out of the collapse.
Right.
You know, the whole universe is just in a collapse. But the Lord needs some. He needs us to be brought out of that collapse.
Amen.
He wants to head up everything in the universe.
Amen.
Now then, the time will come. Not just He will be rejoicing. But listen, all creation will be set free from the bondage. I already said it. I just wanted to say it again. Creation, this is in Romans 8, it's groaning, waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. The creation is. And you see in the Old Testament, it talks about what will happen when the Lord comes back in the kingdom and in eternity. The trees will clap their hands. Hallelujah. The mountains will sing. The lion will lay down with the lamb. Your little kid, the little kids can play by the viper's den. Ooh. Anyway, listen, It'll all be reconciled to Him. He's heading up everything. And He's starting with us.
Amen.
Hallelujah, He's starting with you.
Amen.
Ultimately, He'll head up everything in the universe.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Tell your neighbor He's starting with you.
Starting with you.
Amen. Okay, let's go on to Roman numeral 2. On the cross, let's read it together. On the cross, Christ created the new man in Himself
by abolishing in His flesh the law of the commandments and ordinances, the middle wall of partition.
Two big things are happening here in this verse. You see the word created and you see word what? Abolished. There was something going on in the cross, and I hope you would see this. Saints, right now is the time to really see it. He was there. We heard it in the message on termination. There was a point of abolishing the ordinances. But this is a big thing. This is big. By abolishing in His flesh the law of the commandments and ordinances, the middle wall of partition, He did something. He created something brand new in the universe.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He created something new in the universe.
Amen.
But He had to take something out of the way. I'd like to use another illustration. Here's in the next point, the middle wall of partition, which is a distinction made mainly by circumcision between the circumcision and the uncircumcision, became the enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles. So you have to realize that Jews and Gentiles, there was a big wall.
Yeah.
You have the Jews, they had a covenant with God. God covenanted with them. And they were the circumcision. And everybody else is the uncircumcision. So there's a big wall. If you're a Jew, you're the circumcision. If you're not a Jew, sorry. You're just a Gentile. You're just a dog. We're His people. This is the wall that was created, that was brought in. And it was a big wall.
Yeah.
And the Lord had to take care of this. And this is what He was doing on the cross. Do you realize that? On one hand, He was bearing our sins. He was terminating the self, the old man, the old creation, so many things. But He was also abolishing something big, the law of commandments and ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
And He was taking away this big partition between the Jews and the Gentiles to create something brand new.
Amen.
In the universe.
Amen.
Okay, let me use an illustration. I want to use Eric and Mike and Josiah. You guys come up. Okay. Here you have. You have to sign the order. You're the wall. Here's. I can't use Eric as a Jew. Here's the Jew. Hallelujah. And over here you have the Gentile. And in the middle, you've got a wall. I mean, literally, a wall. And the word declares it's a middle wall of partition. It was a big wall. And they had problems with one another. Ways of where everything about them was separated by this middle wall of partition. And you know what? The Lord did something on the cross. He took the Jews. He took the Gentiles. He took you, and He took me, He took all of mankind, and He did something with this part right here. He did something with the middle wall of partition. And actually, what the middle wall of partition is not just circumcision. It's all the ordinances. It's all the rituals. It's all the forms. It's the ways of living. It's ways of worship. This is a big thing. This is what divides all of us. Right? Don't you have ordinances? Come on, do you?
Yes.
You know what an ordinance? How about ways of worship? Listen, so many Christians, they're divided over what? Just style of worship. They don't like that style. I don't like that style. That's over here. Let's just pretend now these are two believers. And you like to hold your hands up when you praise the Lord. And you're enjoying, you're worshiping. And you have your hands in your pocket. And you're both enjoying the Lord. But you know what? But he's over here and he's just looking at that woman with his hands raised up. And he's looking at this one. What's the matter? He needs to get released. I don't want to do that. This one is sitting down. He's standing up. I don't like to stand up. I like to worship sitting down. Why do I have to stand up? Okay, you put your hands down. Anyway, all these things are—they're still a wall. They're walls. They're separating factors between the believers, just like with between the Jews and the Gentiles. What else? There's all kinds of things. But I like to. Maybe I'll get into them later. But listen, what happened on the cross? What did the verse say? Ephesians 2:14. I want you to read this. Actually, we'll start at 13 while we're here. I'll just read it to you. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off. Who's the ones that were far off? Gentiles. They were far off. Because God's salvation came through the Jews. They were far off. They were so far off. But here it says, but now in Christ Jesus, on the cross, the Lord was there. He was doing something. In Him, you who are far off, what? You become near, but in the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace.
Amen.
He Himself is our what? Peace.
Peace.
He who has made both one and what? Broken down. Broken down. The middle wall of partition.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He did it, saints. Now what do you have? Christ Himself is our peace. Hallelujah. The middle wall is gone. All the ordinances are taken care of. What brings us together in oneness? Christ Himself is our
peace.
Peace, brothers.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Yes. Peace. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, brothers, thank you. Isn't this marvelous? This is what He was doing on the cross.
Yeah. Amen.
Let's read a few points and I'll speak some more on this. B, all together.
This middle wall of partition is the law of the commandments and ordinances.
And then one, all together.
This is not the law of the moral commandments, but the law of the ritual commandments.
Amen. Two.
Ordinances refers to rituals, the forms of ways of living, which create enmity and division.
You know, just in this one point, saints, you just don't realize how much we're divided from one another and how much the Lord is after something altogether different. I think you all realize in John 17, the Lord prayed before He went to the cross. We're talking about the cross here, the word of the cross. But before He went to the cross, He prayed for something. What did He pray for? He prayed, Father, that they all may be one. Again, that they all may be what? One. That the world may know. That the world may know. It's the oneness. It's in the oneness. The world will know that You have sent Me. Amen. Well, you know, there's so many examples. You know, I love some of the examples he gave, Craig gave last night. You know, in the meetings, you know, I got caught. You know, I was in, I think I was in New Zealand. And we were singing a song. And I thought, oh, no. And it was a song that was, it was so slow. And, you know, I'm from Texas. And again, maybe Texans just like to be faster. But at least I do, you know, faster songs or something. But anyway, it was a song, Take Time to Behold Him. And I thought, this thing is going to stop. It wasn't just take time to behold Him. It was, to me, it was just so slow. But you know what? That was my ordinance. It's too slow. But you know what? I did something. I went to the cross.
Amen.
To die myself. Turned to the Lord. And what happened? I began to enjoy. Take time to be holy.
Amen.
Forget about your ordinances.
Right.
Forget about your ways. Right. You know, what you like. I got caught last night. We were singing a song. Isn't that a little bit too slow? I'm always like that. Ben's on my case all the time. You know about Ben Sargent. You know, I just like things certain ways, and it just comes out of my mouth. You know. But listen, the Lord took care of all those ordinances.
Amen.
He took them out of the way. Actually, it says He nailed those ordinances to the cross.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did you realize on the cross all those ordinances, all those opinions, all your preferences, they were nailed to the cross. Amen. You like fast songs or slow songs? Love songs or drinking songs? What do you like, David Tang? You have no idea? What are you not singing? What's the matter? If you don't have any feeling? we just have so many opinions and preferences. And saints, these are the things that divide us.
Right.
And again, I just want to impress you, on the cross, the Lord did something. He took care of all this.
Right.
He nailed that ordinance. Give me an example of an ordinance. John? Singing fast songs.
Wearing a tie in the meeting?
Oh, wearing a tie. Yeah, that was one of my ordinances. I'll never do that. You know, here I am. Okay, somebody else.
Food.
Yeah, there you go. What do you mean?
You don't like different kinds of food.
Exactly. Why do you eat so much rice?
You eat it with a stick.
With a stick.
A stick.
I still haven't got this down. Why would you have two sticks? And you can only get maybe one rice. I mean, a spoon is so efficient. You get a whole lot of rice. I don't quite understand it. You know what I mean? It's just we have ordinances. Yeah, and our ways of eating. And what we eat. You know, I came from Texas, and, you know, there's things. When I got to California, man, avocados everywhere. Hummus. You know, all kinds of, you know, somewhat healthy things. You know? Where's the barbecue? Anyway. We just have lots of different ordinances. You know, even related to calling on the Lord. Are we the calling on the Lord church? No, this shouldn't be our mark. It's very scriptural. You know, but what if John Bergling doesn't want to call on the Lord? Should we kick him out? Titus, should we kick you out? Are you calling on the Lord? All right, you're out of here. No. Pray reading. What if you don't want to pray read? Pray over the Word. It's very scriptural. The problem is, things that are scriptural, they can divide us from one another.
Right.
This is what we've seen. Why are there thousands of divisions? Some of them are just the way you baptize. You know, some it's, oh, you have a piano. You don't have any musical instruments in the room. You realize there are places like that? Is that unscriptural? It's scriptural. To be quiet, to be loud. It's all scriptural. It's all a matter of what? Our ordinance. My little ordinance about how we live and move and worship. But the Lord is really, He did something wonderful on the cross. Again, He nailed those ordinances to the cross. He divided those, He removed those barriers. And He came in as the peace. Peace Himself between one another. Isn't it sweet to have peace with one another? To not have any of that? We're still learning. We're learning. Are you learning? What if someone dances in the meeting? Oh, something's happened. Who's been dancing in the meeting? I remember one brother, he was a trainer. He got him danced on the table. Trained. Anyway. David danced before the Lord.
That's right.
Will you be bothered? Hallelujah. You know, I remember this one place. This is in Arlington, Texas, where I came. I was there until 6 years ago. And I remember a place, I don't know the name of the denomination or thing, but it said, old-fashioned church. Old-fashioned. The way it used to be. No rock here. You know, or nothing contemporary here. Something like that. Anyway, what is that? It's the no rock church, or it's the old-fashioned church. You know, the old rugged cross. Da, da, da. You know, they like it a certain way. But isn't that sad? You know, I came from a background where I grew up and it was very quiet. And there was one brother, I remember this old brother, he used to say amen. And he was the only one in the whole place would say amen. He's like, why does he do that? Very scriptural, but it was just very unique. He just like, I think some of them wanted to tell him to be quiet. But eventually, in my seeking after the Lord, I went to other places. I began to, he goes, hey, it's okay to open your mouth and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's all say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now, if you didn't praise the Lord, it's okay. You know, sit, stand, you know, whatever. You know, in our home meeting, when I first came to Los Angeles, I was in a home, and they had big dogs in the meeting, in the little home. And they were big, big giant collies. And we're trying to enjoy the Lord together, read the Bible, and they'd come up and slobber all over you. And I just like, how can we have a gathering with dogs right there in front of us, getting hair on us, slobbering on us, you know? Is that unscriptural? No. Praise the Lord. Just my ordinances, you know what I mean? So anyway, I hope we would be so impressed that the Lord, He removed the middle wall of partition, the law of commandments in ordinances. He did remove the law of commandments, the moral law, but the ritual laws, all the things related to rituals, ways of doing things. He took them out of the way. Okay, let's go on to C. Let's read that together. In His flesh,
Christ terminated all the negative things in the universe. Satan, sin, the flesh, the world, the old creation, and the separated ordinances of the law.
Hallelujah for all these things. We've already covered this yesterday. Anyway, He did. He destroyed Satan. He condemned sin. He crucified the flesh. He judged the world. He crucified the old man. He abolished the ordinances. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then let's go to D. In Himself, as the sphere, element, and essence, Christ created the Jews and the Gentiles into one new man. Now this is where you realize I may not have ever seen this. What else was going on the cross? He was creating something. You know, in the same portion in Colossians, it says, Christ, He's first in the old creation. He's the first in the old creation. And then it goes on to say, He's the firstborn from among the dead. In other words, He's the first in the new creation.
Yeah.
And eventually it says that He might have the first place in all things. He wants to have the first place. Is He first place? He should be first place in everything.
Amen.
Well, when He went to the cross, saints, listen. The old creation was ended. Old Adam was finished. And He was there on the cross. He was doing something. He was doing something. He was creating something.
Amen.
The Word says He created in Himself. Look at me. In Himself. Of twain. Of two. He took the Jews. He took the Gentiles. And He created. He brought them together in Himself. And He created in Himself of two. One new man.
Amen.
One new man.
Amen.
What is the one new man? The one new man is just, it's the church. It's the body of Christ. The one new man is the highest. It's the highest, saints. The one new man, first of all, it's one. It's one man. It's not a lot of men. It's just one man. It's a corporate man. And it's a matter, you know, Eric, come here a second. You know, Eric, he has members to his body, right? Here's a member. And in this, you know, he has a body and he has members. Wiggle your members. Yeah, there you go. Members. This is all a matter of life. He has life. But you know what? He has more than just life. He is a body. And the church is the body of Christ. It's a matter of life, right? Do you have life?
Amen.
Are you a member of the body of Christ?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're members.
Amen.
We have life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hopefully all the members are functioning. They have life. They're moving. They're active. They're participating in the body of Christ. But you know what? There's another aspect to this. On the other hand, He's not just a body. He may be in a coma in the hospital. And all the members have life. But there's another aspect. You know what it is? It's the person. There's a person here. He has the new man. As a man, you're a person. You're not just life with a bunch of members. But you're a person.
Amen.
With decisions. Mm. You make decisions. You make choices. You have feelings. You see? So as a person, you're hired. Anyway, the one new man is higher. I hope you realize at least a little bit. Listen, the Lord was producing, on one hand, He's producing the body. On the other hand, He produced, He created Himself a twain, one new man. And by doing this, He made peace. There's peace. Now then, what kind of peace is this? Well, we won't get to that yet. Hold on. In the same portion, a few verses before that, He said, we are His masterpiece. Let's all say that. Masterpiece.
Masterpiece.
Tell your neighbor, we are His masterpiece.
We are His masterpiece.
Say, we're part of the one new man.
We're part of the one new man.
I'm so glad I'm part of the one new man.
Amen.
Doesn't that sound awesome? That indicates peace is there. To really be one. To really be one means the Lord had to come in and be the peace to eliminate all the differences. All the problems. Do you have any problems with ones around you? Yes? Mario, you don't have problems, do you? Anyway. Listen, in the one new man, he's taking care of all the negative. You know, in point one it says, Christ is not only the creator of the new man, the church, but also the sphere in which, and the element and the essence with which the new man is created. Two, Christ created the one new man, the church. Church, I got to scribble.
By work.
By working God's divine nature into humanity. Listen, He was doing something at the cross. If I had those two guys up here, you know what He was doing? The Lord was bringing these two together. He was eliminating the barrier, and He was taking all of mankind, the Jews and the Gentiles, you and your neighbor, and He was adding something. Something brand new was imparted. And that was the germination that He was talking about last night. He was imparting life. Life into the Jews and the Gentiles. He was creating something and adding His element to it. Therefore, what came out through death and resurrection was what? It was something of altogether brand new in the universe.
Amen.
Do you realize that only 2,000 years ago, there's a new creation. Something brand new. It's not like the old creation. Listen, do you like all the scenery around here? You like the trees? You like to see the snow? The clouds? It's pretty awesome. You know, we drove through that snow too. You know, I mean, drove through the cloud. And next thing you know, wow, you're in another area. It's all beautiful. But you know what it is? It's all old. It's the old creation. Praise the Lord. There's something more beautiful in this universe.
Amen.
He created something brand new.
Brand new.
Just 2,000 years ago. It's not that old.
It's not that old.
It's one new man.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. In this new man, let me see. Okay, let's go on. Eat. Let's read that together. When Christ created the two, the Jews and the Gentiles, into one new man,
He reconciled them in one body to God.
F. By abolishing in His flesh the separating ordinances, that is, His slaying the enmity, and by His creating the Jewish and Gentile believers into one new man, peace was made between all believers.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Peace was made.
Amen.
Do you realize this is what happened on the cross? Redemption, termination, germination, and then what? Peace. Hallelujah! Peace. One new man. So making what? Peace. Wow, this is tremendous. I want to go on to point three. I'm running out of time. Let's all read Roman numeral 3 together.
The peace produced by Christ on the cross should bind all believers together and thus become the uniting bond in which we keep the oneness of the Spirit.
Now what does Ephesians 4:3 say? You see the verse there? It says this, being diligent. Why don't you repeat after me? Being diligent.
Being diligent.
To keep.
To keep.
Oh, keep.
Keep.
The oneness.
The oneness.
Of the Spirit.
Of the Spirit.
In.
In.
The uniting bond of peace.
The uniting bond of peace.
Amen. So, in these verses, Jordan, what do we need to keep?
The oneness and peace.
Okay, stand up, please. First of all, on the cross, Christ created one new man. And then on the other hand, He says we have to be diligent to keep the oneness. There's a oneness that was brought in on the cross. Now then, He has to keep the oneness. What kind of oneness do you and I need to keep? Does it look like this? Here's the Lord, and here He gives some oneness. Now here, I'm the Spirit, and I've got oneness here. Does it here have some oneness? Is that the oneness? Oh, yeah, He gave us the oneness. And the Lord is over here. No. What does He need to keep? The oneness of
the Spirit. Amen.
The oneness is what? Of the what? Thank you. The Spirit. What do we need to keep? The oneness of the Spirit. The Spirit. In what realm? What in the uniting bond of
peace?
In other words, He did something on the cross. He brought in peace between all of us, all the believers. There's peace. There's nothing that should separate. There's no ground for division. The Lord hates division. Do you realize that? He doesn't like division. He calls it fleshly. In 1 Corinthians 3. He brought in peace. And in this peace, in this realm of peace with one another, what do we need to keep? The oneness of the Spirit. Why? Well, this is where I'd like to just introduce a point, and that is this. Keep in mind that Christ and the cross are one. Do you realize that? Don't think you have Christ and over here the cross is something else. Listen, the Christ and the cross are one. And Christ, when He went to the cross, oh, saints, listen, He accomplished an eternal redemption. And He did it through the eternal Spirit. So He was there accomplishing something eternal. Right? Amen. And so, when He terminated everything And in resurrection, he germinated something. He brought life into the one new man. He created something new in himself on the cross. He brought life. He injected life into all of us. That's when it happened. You know, we were regenerated actually there in resurrection. But in time, it took place in your life. But he was doing everything on the cross. And he was doing it through the eternal spirit. It was something of eternity there. Therefore, it could reach us even today. How is redemption reaching you today? How is it real and applied to you today? It's real and applicable because it was accomplished in the eternal spirit.
Amen.
It reaches you. It reaches me. It reaches those 100 years ago. It reached all of us because it took place in the eternal spirit. Not only that, the Lord in resurrection, he became what? The life-giving spirit.
Amen.
So all that he accomplished, all that he went through, all that he did on the cross, in his redemptive work, in his terminating work, in his germinating work, it all got brought where? Into the spirit.
Amen.
That's why when he came to that room and they were all afraid, what did he do? Peace. Peace. And then he breathed into them.
Amen.
He said, receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now then today, have you received the Holy Spirit, Armando?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have the Spirit.
Amen.
You know what you have there? You have Christ.
Amen.
You have the cross.
Amen.
Oh, you have oneness.
Amen.
Because you have the oneness of what? The Spirit.
Amen.
So what do you need to keep? The Spirit. In the uniting bond of peace. Now that's another little point. Big, not a little point. It's a big point because that's our last point. Okay. A, B, C, D, E. Let's see. Let me just read to you. The uniting bond of peace is actually the working of the cross. When we go to the cross and remain there, the differences disappear and we have peace. I mean, as Craig mentioned, I've had many instances where you go to say something to your wife and you realize you want to have that last word. Instead, you just deny yourself. Take the cross. In other words, really, you take the Spirit.
Right.
You go along with the Lord within.
Right.
And what happens? Peace. You just said peace.
Amen.
All the differences disappear. We have peace. Then B, the peace of Christ in Colossians 3:15 is simply the peaceful oneness in the new man. C, for the proper body life. Let's all read C. This is big.
For the proper body life, we need the peace of Christ to arbitrate, to adjust, to decide all things in our heart, in the relationships between the members of his body.
So now, saints, we're all, are you a believer?
Amen.
Are you in the body of Christ?
Amen.
You part of the one new man?
Amen.
Hallelujah, you have peace. Christ himself is our peace. We read that, right? And this peace needs to arbitrate. And this peace is none other than what? Who's the peace?
Christ.
Didn't we read that? He himself is our peace. Let's all say that again.
He himself is our peace.
So what do we need to do as we live in the body, in the one new man? We need to let the peace of Christ arbitrate in our hearts. You know, what does arbitrate mean? You know, what's the difference between mediate and arbitrate? You know, to mediate means there's a difference of opinions. There's a problem here, and you have someone come in to mediate. And they try to come up with a proper solution.
Right.
But in mediation, all they can do is just make some suggestions. How about this? How about that? To bring the two parties into agreement. But this is not what the Lord is. He's not a mediator here in this sense. He is the arbitrator. He needs to arbitrate. We need to let the peace of Christ arbitrate, which means arbitrate means what? You make a decision. It's a final. You don't come there and listen. You listen and then you make a decision. And you know what? This decision is binding. It settles it. It's over. It's the decision. It's like an umpire in a baseball game. You know, they slide into home base and the umpire says, he may say, out. You're out of there. Well, that settles it. You can go argue all you want, but they don't change their mind, right? That's arbitration. We need to let the peace of Christ what?
Arbitrate.
Make the decisions. Settle. Just settle it with His word. Let him go along with the peace of Christ and say amen.
Amen.
Don't argue with the umpire. Don't kick dirt all over him. Don't bump him. You know, that's what some of them do. Anyway. Just say amen. Let the peace of Christ arbitrate. You know, recently I had this situation. This is just a little experience. But we had a camping trip with all the UCLA students before school started up in Malibu. And we borrowed a football from a young brother in junior high. And we went off to Malibu and we came back and the football was gone. And so I realized, okay, well, we need to reimburse him. So what I did was I went to Sports Authority. We got a gift card for him. And I saw his dad, and I was with his dad. And my thought was, here, just give him here's a gift card. Could you give that to your son? But I had no peace. I had no peace. It was just too loose, too flippant. And I didn't have peace to give it to him. It was there in my pocket. All he had to do was just give it to his son, go tell him to go get a football. But instead, I just had the feeling I need to go to the house and give it to him personally. And it was, to me, it was just so sweet, just following the peace.
Yeah, right.
Awesome. Go to the door, knock on the door eventually, go in and ask for Nathan. And he came. And his family's all there around the dinner table. He's off studying. Bring him out there. And I just had to tell him, Nathan, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. We lost your football. And we just weren't careful. We really apologize. And we want to give you this gift certificate. It should be enough to get you a football and even something more. Sports Authority. And he was so happy. He was so thankful. And the family was all happy. and I went away. Peace. You know, praise the Lord. Anyway, we need to let the peace of Christ arbitrate. This is in all of our situations. What about it, you know, the ones you live with? You know, I want to go back to something that Craig mentioned last night. When we're enjoying the Lord, when His life is reproduced in us, we just go along with the Lord. There's things happen that are amazing. He lives His life again in us. And it's really, another side of that is, it's really the peace arbitrating. It's Him just, being led by peace. You know, because it's all in the life. It's in the Spirit, right? When I first came and I moved in with some brothers when I first came to the church life, and there were all these brothers, and I came up, and they didn't know me. I just kind of, all of a sudden I was there, and I had a car, I had a new car, and they all said, oh, praise the Lord, you've got a car, which meant now they have rides. I didn't know what they were saying. Yeah, I have a car. But the next thing you know, one of the brothers, oh, can I borrow your car? And so a brother borrowed my car, and he came back, he brought me the keys, and said, Oh, brother, by the way, sorry, I didn't see this pole. I bumped into the pole. And there's kind of a dent in your bumper, but it's okay. You know, it wasn't too bad. And he just gave me the keys. Praise the Lord, brother. And I said, praise the Lord. And what's crazy is I can't believe I did it either. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I didn't even think anything about it. What kind of life is that?
Right.
And then another brother borrowed the car. He came back. He said, oh, sorry, I didn't see that fire hydrant. And again, here's the keys. Praise the Lord. And again, praise the Lord. You know, really, I didn't have the feeling I need to fight for my rights or anything like that. That's the kind of life we have. And really, what it is just say, just go along with the peace. Be led by peace. I hope you realize, you know, in this word peace, the Lord said, He Himself, in Ephesians, He Himself is our peace. And then in John 14, He says, my peace I give to you, right? Not as the world gives. And eventually when He came to those ones in the upper room, when they were all there on the day of resurrection, He just said, what? Peace be to you. Peace, peace, peace. And ultimately, well, I really like this. In Ephesians, let me just read this to you real quick. Did we read the verses in Ephesians 2? Yeah, we did. But I think we might have stopped at verse 16. It says, and might reconcile both in one body to God through the cross, having slain the enmity by it. Then the next verse says, this is Ephesians 2:17. It says, and coming, he announced peace as the gospel. Did you realize that? What did the Lord say? After he had done this on the cross, he broke down the middle wall. He created, of two, one new man, making peace. And then what did he do? He came, it says, and he announced peace as the gospel. How about that, Jordan? Have you ever shared the gospel in the way of peace? Presenting peace that the Lord accomplished on the cross as the gospel? Anyway, I hope you all would have some appreciation for what the Lord did on the cross. In bringing in peace. And that this is just Himself as the peace that has eliminated all the ordinances, all the things that divide one another. What about offenses when you're offended with one another? When you get offended, what do? I remember one time, I've told this before, a brother, I got bothered by something and his voice became like, I can't do it, fingernails on a chalkboard. I couldn't stand to hear his voice. His amen was like, ugh. He laughed because he probably had that, right? And I just couldn't take it. It was really hard. And I was bothered. Why am I so bothered with this brother? Well, it's so good, saints. We need to let the peace arbitrate.
Amen.
Go to the Lord. Touch the Lord. Get to the Spirit. Get to the Lord and find out what is wrong. And find Christ as the one who's made peace.
Amen.
Eventually with this one brother, I touched the Lord. I saw that brother through the Lord's eyes. And eventually, I came back and all I could do is just love that brother. And even, I wanted to hear him speak. And even years after that, whenever I'd see him at a conference, brother, what have you been enjoying? I just sit there and listen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let the peace of Christ arbitrate. Make all the decisions. There's a lot of decisions you have to make. They're big, some little. Let the peace of Christ arbitrate.
Amen.
I wanted to, there's a hymn I'd like to end with. It's 857. And I don't know, maybe you brothers could play it on a guitar, but I'll sing it first. I'll sing it. And Bert, it's to the tune of 600, I think, in the hymn book. But here's how it goes. You could just, if you would, please listen first. Okay? It goes like this. How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those who love the Lord in one another's peace delight. And so fulfill His word. And so fulfill His word. You got it? And then I just want to read this to you. Pay attention. Point two. Verse two. When each can feel his brother's sigh and with him bear a part. When sorrow flows from eye to eye and joy from heart to heart.
Amen.
And joy from heart to heart. Doesn't that sound sweet?
Yeah.
How about this kind of peace? The Lord wants the one new man to be expressed on the earth. And for the one new man to be expressed on the earth, saints, we need to stay in this bond of peace. This is our bond. And our oneness is just the Spirit. We're one in the Spirit and we're in the bond, in the uniting bond of what? Peace. When the peace is broken, there's no proper expression of the one new man. Can we sing this? You think you have it? Anyway, I guess we need to stop here. We need to take a break. But I just hope, go ahead and have a seat real quick. Saints, I just hope we would be clear about one matter. And that is, the Lord accomplished a wonderful redemption on the cross. An eternal redemption.
Amen.
And then He terminated everything negative. And then He germinated. He released His life. And actually, He released that life into the body of Christ.
Amen.
Into all His believers.
Amen.
And now, how do we experience? How do we enjoy? How do we live in oneness with one another? all our days till the Lord comes back. I hope you would have a burden in your being. Lord, get one new man.
Amen.
Get something that is full of oneness.
Amen.
Full of peace.
Amen.
People live in peace with one another.
Amen.
We would learn to live at peace.
Amen.
Actually, anyway, this is all, listen, this is all wrapped up in our turning to the Lord.
Amen.
Touching the Lord. You know, when we turn to the Lord and exercise our spirit, we turn our heart to Him. We touch Him. Listen, everything is real. All the divine things are real. Listen, when you turn to the Lord, what happens? Redemption is real.
Amen.
The blood is flowing right now. It's saying, forgive.
Amen.
Forgive.
Amen.
When you touch the Spirit, you're terminated.
Amen.
You're crucified.
Amen.
It's all real.
Amen.
Right? When you touch the Spirit, what happens? You're full of resurrection life.
Amen.
It's a matter of living by the Spirit, saints.
Amen.
And in the one new man, how can we be in oneness with one another? We need to always be turning to the Lord.
Amen.
Touching the Spirit.
Amen.
Enjoying the Lord.
Amen.
This is how the one new man has an expression of Christ.
Amen.
He wants to be expressed on this earth.
Amen.
Don't you want Him to be expressed?
Amen.
Do you want to live in the one new man?
Amen.
Where love just flows, you know, from every bosom. Joy, peace. Wow. I love this place.
Amen.
This is what the Lord is after.
Amen.
And this is what it was produced on the cross.
Amen.
I did want to mention, in the last conference, they mentioned a few things that are... I'm out of time, but listen to this. These are the five spontaneous results of having seen the cross of Christ. Five short points. Number one, we will hate sin.
Amen.
Listen, when you see the cross and you see what He's done, His love toward us, listen, we will hate sin. We don't agree with it. We don't justify ourselves. We hate it. We abhor it. And we repent of it. Okay, two, we will love the Lord.
Amen.
When you see the cross, what do you see? What happens? I hope in all of us there's, Lord, I love You.
Amen.
I love You so much. And even that verse in Galatians 2:20 where it says, you know, we're familiar with the first part. I'm crucified with Christ. No longer I live. It's Christ who lives in me, who loved me and gave Himself up for who? Me. So I'll say that. Me.
Me.
He loved me.
Okay.
Three, we will follow the Lord. That means we will do the will of the Lord.
Amen.
Not my will, Lord, Your will.
Your will.
Then four, there'll be a radical change in our value system. In other words, what will we boast in? We boast in the cross of Christ. Hallelujah, for all this accomplishment. We
Amen.
Boast in this. We don't boast in our accomplishment, our attainments. We don't boast in our new car. We don't boast in our looks. We don't boast in our image. We boast in the cross of Christ.
Amen.
And then fifth, we'll learn to live at peace with everyone and announce peace. Hallelujah. The Lord, He came what? He announced peace as the gospel. The more we live in this kind of realm, this wonderful realm, appreciating all this comes on the cross, living through the cross by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Listen, we'll just want others to know. We just announce peace.
Amen.
Amen.